On this episode of Inside Boxing Live, we'll break down Artur Beterbiev versus Anthony Yard. That is a big matchup at 175 pounds. We got some news. Anthony Joshua looks like he has a fight date and an opponent. Josh Taylor fight looks like it's delayed again. Jake Paul is getting back into the ring. Let's go. What is up, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of Inside Boxing Live, episode 207. This is a product of John Boy Media. I am Dan Canovio. He is former world champion Chris Algieri. He is on location. Looks like he's in an interrogation room. Where are you, Chris? Tell us where you're at and what you're doing.
I am in the lovely and scenic Plant City, Florida. Yikes. Which, if you have never been here, I don't suggest visiting. But we got fights tonight. I'm working with Pro Box TV. We have some great matchups tonight. It's a new network, new platforms, so which is good. We got more boxing, and we got Wednesday night live fights, which is awesome. It's back to the days of ESPN Tuesday night fights, Wednesday night fights, Friday night fights. A little midweek boxing action can't hurt.
I don't understand why they don't do more of these, like midweek. Like, why does it have to be Friday? Why does it have to be Saturday? I understand, like, a venue-wise, and it has to do with getting people to show up. But like, it's more about TV, I feel like, in my opinion, boxing. So, like, we need more midweek, so I think that's cool. Brings you back to the USA boxing days, Tuesday night fights. Yeah, you get to see that. Yep. And then you're on the call with Claudia and Marquez again.
Poi Malignaggi, Claudia Trejo. Gotcha. We got Mike Goldberg, Juan Manuel Marquez. We're doing simultaneous English and Spanish. Wow. So on the English side, it'll be myself, Paulie, and Mike Goldberg, and then the Spanish version is Juan and Claudia.
So I know fighters have like pre-fight superstitions and regimens and schedules. Do you have a pre-fight broadcast? Because I have my own. What are yours?
I do. I actually run sprints. Usually I'm in a hotel, so I run sprints
in the suit.
I like the shadow box in the suit, not so much sprints because I'm gonna sweat. But no, like during the day before. I work out a lot when I'm on location for fights. I want to feel like a fighter. Fight week energy is hard to shake off for me, so I always feel like I got to make weight, or I'm training, or I got to be super sharp for fight night. So I like to run sprints because it wakes me up, gets energy up, gets the oxygen up.
You do those in the hallway of the hotel.
Yeah, I mean, whatever's clever. If it's cold out, then yeah, it can happen.
Does anyone ever pop out of their room and then you just barrel them over?
I've jumped around a few people. I got some pretty good jukes, so you know, bouncing around people in the hallways.
All right, so check out Chris over on Pro Box TV. Love up-and-coming fighters. They're doing some pretty cool stuff. Big fight this weekend over in the light heavyweight division. It's Artur Beterbiev and Anthony Yard. We will get to that. There are a lot of headlines. We like to get to all the headlines this week. We put a little twist on it. We're going to play a little fact or fiction around some of the biggest headlines in boxing, and we'll start it off with Jake Paul, our favorite topic here on Inside Boxing Live. He is, we'll be fighting Tommy Fury February 25th, so they say. Third time's a charm here. Saudi Arabia, so that shouldn't be a problem for Tommy Fury entering that country. He's not banned from that country, so there shouldn't be any issues there. We don't know where it's going to be. I heard a few sources that it could be on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. If you're into those types of things, where you're going to see it. But fact or fiction, Chris, Jake Paul will get universal credit for beating a boxer in Tommy Fury.
Fiction. Is Tommy Fury even a boxer at this point? I mean, Jake Paul actually fights more than him. So I think he's in the gym more than Tommy Fury is. He fights more often. He's more relevant than Tommy Fury. The only reason we are even talking about Tommy Fury is because his last name is Fury. And I think what is his relation to Tommy? Is a cousin?
Half brother of Tyson Fury.
Half brother. Okay.
Same dad, different mom.
Well, he doesn't have the same talent. That's for damn sure. Anywhere near. But I don't know. I think casuals will be like, yeah, he beat a boxer. But I think people who are in the know are not going to give credit. Yeah.
That's why I'm going fact here, because many already trotting out the narrative that Tommy Fury is a boxer because of the things you just listed. He's the brother of Tyson Fury. He's 8-0. He's been a pro since whatever. But let's be honest. Tommy Fury is not on the same level as Jake Paul. Tommy Fury is as much of a pro boxer as me or Ronnie. He's just got the name. But I do think the majority of people that watch Jake Paul fights, and I really don't think they're the hardcore fans, will say, "Oh my God, this is a boxer. Like this is Tyson Fury's brother. This guy is 8-0. Like if you take a look at his past opponents, they've all been MMA guys or NBA players." I think he will get credit, and I think this is why he's going to the well once again to get this fight, is so that
Joe
he can
Rogan
say
on some crazy rant when he was talking to Portnoy. Dave Portnoy. Oh no, he's a good. No, he's not. No, he's not, Joe. Joe, I understand you know fight sports. You don't know boxing. You're looking at this guy, and he's not a good boxer. He's barely a journeyman.
Yeah, but I do think he'll get. I do think like Jake Paul is smart. Like, he's a marketing guy. He understands all that, and I think that if he can knock out Tommy Fury or beat Tommy Fury, he can say, you know what, I beat a boxer now. I beat a guy that's related to the heavyweight champion. I can X that one out before I go on to MMA, and I think that's why he took the fight. And I think it will do well, but I also think that he's going to get credit for beating a boxer. Although it's once again, it comes with like an asterisk and a caveat that the guy isn't really that good.
Listen, I don't know if he beats Tommy Fury. Even though I just said all I said, I'm not sure he actually beats Tommy Fury. He still can lose.
I think he beats. I think he'll be a favorite. I think he just trains way more. He's dedicated way more to the sport than Tommy is. There's a reason he keeps pulling out of these fights, Fury. Whether you want to blame it on the visa issues or the fact that like, he just kind of knows that he is not going to win, and you have Tyson.
Oh, and if he loses, his career is absolutely over.
Well, he doesn't really have a career to begin with, so you might as well just cash out and make $2 million or whatever the offer is, and go back to doing whatever he does over in the UK, like reality shows and stuff. But did you see Tyson Fury said if he loses, he might as well just stay in Saudi Arabia. And I honestly think that's a big reason why that he keeps like coming up with excuses not to fight. Because like I feel like he doesn't really want to. I feel like he never really wanted to get into the sport. But if you have the last name Fury, you almost have to. And maybe he just wants to be like a whatever he does, like a reality guy, reality star personality. He really doesn't want to be a fighter. And he's maybe crying out for help with all these times that he pulls out of these fights.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's another thing. Is the fight actually going to happen? Because it was scheduled, what is it, the third time?
Third time's a charm. This is it. They're going back to the well again. There isn't a lot of options for Jake Paul. This is the third time they're doing it. It's funny because now that we're getting some big fights coming down the pipeline, like, you know, Inoue Fulton and Benavidez Plant and Garcia Tank and Wilder Ruiz, like this Jake Paul in the boxing headlines keeps going down, further and further and further, which it honestly should be. And I think Jake Paul would actually agree with that too. It's like it's more healthy when it's the Jake Paul fights are added to the big fights. It's a supplemental way of boxing, not the main fight on a schedule. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, it's a sideshow. And listen, I'm not saying eventually the kid can't actually be something that matters more than he is now. But right now he's a sideshow because he's still – this would be the first time he's fighting a quote-unquote boxer. But you said he doesn't have a lot of options. Well, why not? I'm sure there's a ton of guys all around – his weight class that are clamoring to get that fight, but they're not willing to risk it because he's not ready to fight those guys. At some time, if he beats like top 20 guys, top 15 guys, then okay, maybe we can talk about it. And like you said, he can move up the the ladder in terms of how much it matters, you know, that he's fighting. But what is Tommy Fury ranked? Is he ranked? Does anybody matter?
I don't think he's ever fought past like six rounds.
Right, it's a sideshow, and we got to stop treating it like it's not.
I'm actually excited for it. I like these fights. I like Jake Paul fights, and I will be watching. I think it has a good storyline, and I do think
thoroughly disagree with you on that. I don't like Jake Paul fights.
And I think that he will get credit for it. Let's go over to heavyweights. Anthony Joshua, another big-time topic here on the show week after week. He now has an opponent and a fight date. It's April 1st, Jermaine Franklin, who just came off of a split decision loss or a decision loss. Many thought he won over Dillian White. I like this fight. Fact or fiction, Anthony Joshua will knock out Jermaine Franklin on April 1st.
Fact, he will knock out Jermaine Franklin. I don't like this fight. We get Joshua, sure, he's coming off a loss, but he's coming off a very high-profile loss against, you know, potentially the best heavyweight on the planet. And he's fighting a guy who just lost. to a former foe of Joshua. I don't like it. On paper, it doesn't look good timing wise. If Jermaine Franklin had beaten White, sure, fight makes a lot more sense. But yeah, I don't love it. But Joshua should knock him out, and I hope he does, because I like when Anthony Joshua fights. I like when he's fighting. I like when he's relevant.
It's also good when he knocks people out. I think it's good for his psyche.
Yes.
I actually disagree. I think this is a good fight. I mean, Jermaine Franklin, I thought he beat Dillian White. I think a lot of fight fans thought so as well. Didn't get his hand raised.
Yep.
I don't like that.
Fought well, for sure.
Yeah.
Showed a lot of mustard.
Yeah, I don't like that they're using this fight to potentially build a Dillian White fight. I think that we've talked about that in the past. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, there's no reason to marinate a rematch between Joshua and Dillian White from years ago, where Dillian White is not the same level. That part I don't like. But if you take a look at what Jermaine Franklin is good at, he has fast hands. He's a very good boxer. He's got good movement. And
those combinations.
But he does not, combinations, but does not have power. So he's also never been stopped before. He's a really good chin. Never been stopped in his career.
He took some bombs from White. Big, big shots. I was super impressed that he, got hurt, definitely, but got wobbled and righted the ship immediately, never went down, never looked like he was close to going down. So, yeah, good point.
Did take some bombs, but there's different, I think the power of Joshua has better power than Dillian White.
He's still explosive. He's still, listen, people can't write off Anthony Joshua. He is he's a freak athlete, for one. And he's also super talented with tons of experience. He's had a bad run, but he's losing to the best guys around. It's not the best guy, but you can't write off someone like Anthony Joshua. I don't think he's done yet. And especially with the way that looks like they're moving him to rebuild, he's going to be in with those big top guys again.
Yeah. So you're saying rebuild, which I agree with. I think everyone can agree that they are rebuilding him, But Jermaine Franklin is a good fighter. Like, I was expecting someone even lower down on the list. So I do give him credit for that. I do think he will knock him out. I do think he needs a knockout. I got some pushback on social media yesterday when I said that this is a good fight or a good test for Joshua, because if he can't stop Jermaine Franklin, if he doesn't drop him at least once or twice, there are going to be some questions. There are going to be the same old questions. Is that fire gone? Is he too much of a too passive inside of the ring? So they found an opponent that is credible. I found an opponent that arguably beat his future opponent in Dillian White. And they found someone in Franklin that doesn't have a lot of power. Joshua will be able to stand and trade and deliver a knockout. Because I really do believe he needs a knockout. This is heavyweight boxing. He's rebuilding his image. If he doesn't get three or four knockdowns, or at least, he needs to stop Jermaine Franklin to kind of catapult him back into the discussion so we could face a Wilder or the winner of Joshua of Fury and Usyk.
I absolutely agree on that point. He definitely needs a knockout. I do believe he's going to get it. Look at the Andy Ruiz rematch. He fought cautiously. He didn't get a knockout. He got raked across the coals in the media. He needs knockouts. I mean, he knocked everybody else out. So now all of a sudden he's not going for it. And that leaves the door open for criticism. But in this fight, it matters. He's got to get a knockout, and that'll bring him right back. If he goes out there and smashes Franklin in a couple rounds, well, that's the best thing that can happen for boxing. He's like, okay, good. We got Anthony Joshua back, the destroyer. So let's go and move on to the next fight.
Don't you think that's why they picked Franklin? Does have a good chin, never been knocked out. So if he does knock him out, that's an impressive talking point. And also the lack of power.
I said I don't like it because of the paper just on paper, the fact that he lost to White, and I was coming off that, and in terms of rebuilding a fighter, it's a great fight.
Yeah, and they say, Joshua, this is this is a top five heavyweight. He should be in there with big names. Keep in mind, his last two fights were against back-to-back fights against Usyk. Has one of the better resumes of the active fighters heavyweights today. Joshua also has a new trainer Derek. What's his name? Why am I forgetting? Derek James. Yes, Derek James. Yep. So that is a big. Those are some big adjustments here, and he's going to be training over here in the U.S. and Texas. So all in all, I think this is a good fight, and I do think Joshua will get a stoppage win, and that will be very good for boxing, Chris. I agree with you there. All right, some news over at 154. This weekend was supposed to be Jermell Charlo versus Tim Zhu over on Showtime. Charlo broke his hand in multiple spots. He's going to be shelved for a while. There were some questions on whether Tim Zhu was going to find a new fight or that he was going to wait for Jermell Charlo, because you got to figure here, this is a unification bout or an undisputed fight, and Zhu doesn't want to lose his spot in line. I think this is awesome. He is now fighting Tony Harrison over in Australia. Sometime, I think, March 12th. You're going to see it over on Showtime, regular Showtime. So I'll ask you, Chris, fact or fiction, Tony Harrison will fight Jermell Charlo for a third time in 2023 for the undisputed 154 title.
Fiction. I don't think Tony Harrison is going to get past Zhu. Remember, you asked me, what does Zhu do now? And I said, go back to Australia and get a fight with somebody that is a name that you can beat. It's exactly what's going on. I really think these promoters and managers are watching our show, because they're following suit with everything we do.
Chris is right again. Yeah. I actually thought he was going to stay in the U.S., but you're right. He's fighting over in Australia.
Tony Harrison's I think it's a great matchup. It's a great fight. Tony Harrison's very good. I'm a big fan of him and his boxing style. You know, he gave Charlo fits both times they fought. So
beat him.
Exactly. Beat him and then, you know, got stopped in the rematch. Very capable guy. And it's going to be a good litmus, a good test for Tim Zhu. Because if he gets past him, cool. We got a live dog to upset the champ. And if not, we know that Tim Zhu's not the guy that deserves that Charlo fight. So
it's hard for me to kind of really figure out what exactly Tim Zhu is. Like, obviously, you got the crushing power, son of a legend. You know, but struggled in his last fight. There are some out there that think that Harrison will be able to box circles around Tim Zhu, because the thing about Harrison, he's a very, very good boxer. Also has power, too. He's 29-3. He's got 21 knockouts. So it's not like he's like a, you know, I wouldn't say pillow, like a light-punching super middleweight. This guy, junior middleweight. He's got 21 knockouts. The only thing is, like, he's been a little inactive over the last couple of years. He was on quite a run.
Is he being a trainer?
He is the trainer of Belisha Bumgarner. That's a pretty cool wrinkle, too. Like, he could be...
Yeah.
If he wins this fight against Zhu and then he fights Charlo and somehow beats Charlo, then these are very, very tough tasks. He could be undisputed at 154 and also train an undisputed fighter in Belisha Bumgarner. I don't think that's ever been done.
No. I mean, I can't imagine. But I love it. I love when you've an active fighter is working with other fighters. I mean, it does take away for their own career, but I mean, he's obviously very capable himself, and then for him to share his knowledge and his boxing expertise, I think it's great.
So he was knocked out by Charlo in the 11th round in 2019. He drew with Bryant Perella. I think we can all agree that Harrison's a better fighter than Bryant Perella. That was in 2021. So he took 2020 off. And then he had one fight in 2022 against Sergio Garcia, who is a guy from Spain who has got a really good motor, gave Fundora some issues, and he got a unanimous decision win there. So I think Harrison's a live dog. I think it's almost like a pick'em fight. Credit to both guys for doing this. Credit to Tim Zhu for not sitting around waiting on Charlo or taking a tune-up fight, going right in there with a top-five guy at 154 in Harrison. Harrison could have probably waited, too, and seen how this played out. And got the winner of this, but this is what boxing's all about. This is the fights that we want to see, and that's Tony Harrison and Tim Zhu over on March 12th. I actually think that Zhu will find a way to stop him. I think it will stop him late, and we'll bang the drum for Charlo. Hopefully Charlo can get back, man. I don't know what's going on with the hand. Like, they show that he broke in two spots during sparring. So it's not just like a hairline fracture. This is two spots, enough for them to schedule another fight in Showtime to be like okay with it, and that sucks because Jermell Charlo is one of the better fighters in boxing, but he's now fighting once a year, which is not great.
No, and someone who's had hand injuries like myself throughout my career, they're never the same. You're dealing with a different hand now, you're different bones. It's just different. And I was talking to Paulie about this too because he had a lot of hand problems early on as well. Once you break your hand, it's never the same. I don't care what surgeon you have. There's no surgeon as good as the man upstairs. So trying to redo anatomy doesn't really work. So yeah, it hopefully he recovers well and he's able to, you know, to fight around it. But yeah, it's better when these types of guys are active.
Yeah, for sure.
The guys who are at the top of the weight divisions, you know, it's better for the sport. But although none of the PBC guys are ever active, so I guess we were wishing on something like that.
Well, at least with this one, it's an injury. At least with this one, it's like it's not like there's like his brother Jamal Charlo, who I have no idea what's going on. Well, transition right into that one. Fact or fiction? There will be a unification bout this year at middleweight. Liam Smith now in the mix at 160. Golovkin is a unified champion at 41 years old. His last fight was at 168. You got Jamal Charlo, has one fight since 2020. You got Jana Beck, the WBO champ, who no one wants to get into the ring with. Will any of those champions fight each other in 2023? Fact or fiction? That's a question. I should say it. There will be a unification bout this year at middleweight. Fact or fiction?
Hard to say, but I kind of feel like no. I feel like it's not going to happen, like, unfortunately, because I still think some breath was blown back into the middleweight division with the upset last weekend of Liam Smith over Chris Eubank Jr. Mm. But other than that, it's been a desert. There's talented guys there, but there's no momentum. There's no talk. And yeah, as we know, Dan, these years fly by quick. These months fall off the calendar very, very fast. So even though it's the beginning of the year, it's January, I still feel like we're a long way off from even the talks of having a unification bout, because that's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of buildup to that kind of fight.
The one that makes the most sense would be Charlo versus Golovkin. So that would mean Golovkin somehow working out a deal to fight with the PBC. That would mean Charlo being active, first of all, jumping right in after not fighting once in since 2020 into a Golovkin fight, even though I think Charlo could probably come out on top in that one. Jana Beck is not fighting anyone on PBC side. Jana Beck probably not fighting Golovkin. It's not looking good.
If you don't have to fight Jana Beck, you won't fight Jana Beck.
Actually, I don't know. I think that they were kind of pumping him up, so it's like kind of how they did Golovkin early on. Like they're trying to. ESPN is like taking notes from HBO when it comes to marketing this guy. His Twitter is not run by him, and it's just like really strange. And also, I think the last fight, I wouldn't say he was exposed, but you saw him go rounds, and he wasn't like a knockout, like a, you know, just running through guys.
He wasn't a destroyer, yeah. But I've called his fights firsthand. I've been live with him. The guy can really fight. He's got a tough style. And he just doesn't have the name yet. That's another reason why these guys, if you don't have to fight Jana Beck, you're not.
Exactly. It's the risk reward.
Yeah, the win does what, and a loss is really deleterious to your career. So yeah, it's not the kind of fight that anyone's going to clamor for.
Another division that has a lot of talent, but there is a lot of games being played. There's a lot of injuries. Josh Taylor, Jack Catterall, postponed again indefinitely. Plantar fasciitis, a tear of the arch of the foot on Josh Taylor. Didn't stop him from being ringside for the Liam Smith fight, hopping up out of his chair and trying to fight Jack Catterall, who was ringside. This came like an hour or two after they announced that the fight was going to be postponed. Then you see Josh Taylor just trying to fight, literally ringside. And everyone's like, oh, if he can hop up off his like that fast, then he should be able to fight, whatever. They're not fighting anytime soon. It's supposed to be March, I think. So I'll ask you, Josh Taylor will defend his 140-pound belts in 2023, fact or fiction?
I'm leaning towards fiction.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. I think we're getting into a routine here. These fights falling through, and this is a snake-bitten fight. And I think it's just going to be that way. Poor Jack Catterall. He had the fight of his life and came out on the wrong side of a decision that many people thought that he won. And they're trying to make this rematch, in which I think Josh Taylor is going to win. I think he's a better all-around fighter. He just had an off night. But I don't know. There's a lot of reports of Josh Taylor who tends to blow up in between fights and likes to party and likes to hang out and likes to get himself into trouble outside of the ring. And that never, never works out in the long run for guys in their careers. You know, it would be a shame because I think Josh Taylor is a real talent. And especially at 140, but I don't see him doing anything at 47. I don't. If he can't make 40, I don't think he fits in with those guys up there. There's a big difference. Listen, I fought both 40 and 47. I didn't fit in a 47 either. There's a big difference between 140 and 147. 7 pounds is a lot.
It is.
And 47 is another thing for the people at home, a little inside boxing. It's the last weight class for 8 ounce gloves are allowed. So 147 is a very different weight class. You got the biggest guys in the sport who are still allowed to wear 8 ounce gloves, where normally everything above 147 wears 10 ounce gloves.
Wow.
So you got guys who could punch, you got guys who are fast, you got guys who are walking around much heavier than you would imagine fighting a 47. 47 pounders are big. So yeah, that's a big ask to go up from 40 to 47. And from things I've heard, Josh Taylor's having trouble with the weight. So having an injury to your plantar fasciitis at the bottom of your foot is going to make it really difficult to make weight as well. Running off those pounds is going to be pretty hard to do if your arch or your foot's hurt.
So he's in a really weird spot, Taylor. He had so much momentum in 2020 to 2021. Obviously, you can go back to the Regis Prograde win after that. Became a champ there at 140. Beat Jose Ramirez, became undisputed. I almost feel like there's like an undisputed curse in a way, because all of his belts, they started picking them off one by one, getting stripped by different organizations. And then he takes a really long time off, or not until to fight Catterall, or 7 months. It was after the Catterall fight that now everything seems to be really falling apart. Injuries, and he can't fight in the U.S. He's caught up in that Kinahan stuff. And I just don't know, man. I feel like this is a guy that was a lock to go up to 147. He was talking about a Crawford fight. He was talking about some of the names at 147. All right, we're going to have another guy in the mix at welterweight. He's a taller fighter at 5'11", and maybe he can fill into 147 and be a force there. But I feel like now he's in, like, no man's land. Like, he's obviously going to be on the shelf for a little bit with this injury. Two of his belts have been taken away. 147, like, he's not getting any title shot anytime soon there. I mean, look what's going on with Boots, Stanionis, Virgil Ortiz. Not only that, is like, I don't know if he'll be have the same advantages that he does at 140 over some of these guys that he'll have at 147. So he's stuck between a rock and a hard place right now. It's interesting to see where he's going to go in the next couple of months. But I don't think it's going to be a fight at 140.
Yeah, my reports that I'm hearing is the weight is an issue. There was a bunch of pictures came out. He blew up at the Ramirez fight, which understandably he was celebrating. It was around the holidays, and that happens. And he had to come down, take off a lot of weight to make that Carroll fight, which got delayed a few times. Now we're here. So back to my point about making weight with an injury to your foot. Good luck. That's gonna be really tough.
Final factor fiction. This Power Slap League, I did a video on it. It's everywhere. They had their first episode last week on TBS. I think it's barbaric. I think it's grotesque. I think it's trivial. I think it's disgusting. But that being said, fact or fiction, Power Slap will make it to a second season on TBS.
Hell yeah, it does. Power Slap's awesome.
How? How you, Chris, someone that is a very educated person. You have freaking degrees coming out of every angle. You know the sport in and out. You know the human body. You're a fighter safety advocate. We've done whole episodes on it. You're okay with guys getting literally slapped unconscious where there's no defense.
Absolutely. This has nothing to do with boxing. This has nothing to do with our sport. It doesn't.
It's in the same. It's in the same little family. People have asked me in the office.
No, it is not. Absolutely not. That will piss me off. If people start thinking about this and boxing, the same thing. The sweet science is the sweet science. Slap, this is a bunch of idiots who are knocking their brains out of each other. They're going to do it anyway. Put it on TV. It's entertaining. It's entertainment. People do a lot of dumb things.
They do it in Russia. For their health. Okay. It's only allowed in like Eastern European countries. Why is it aired? Why is it aired in the U.S.?
Because we like seeing people get knocked out. We like the stupidity of it all. Listen, people do dumb things all the time. Jackass was a very popular show. Not even Jackass, but
bum fights.
Jackass too. You're watching people get hurt, and people like that kind of stuff and doing stupid things. And slap fighting is very stupid.
Very
stupid. Stand in front of you. We're gonna slap each other one for one. It's very, very stupid. But people like it. And
do people like it though? That's what I don't understand. Like, I don't understand why you would want to watch it. Like, there's no
skill. They get views like crazy.
I feel like it gets views like these viral things that come out, like the guy's face blew up. That wasn't Power Slap. That was a different one.
Yeah.
That was bad. I understand, you watch MMA because there's skill to it. There's different styles, signs. You watch boxing because it's different styles that we love, and there's moving, and it's a chess match. There's no chess match here. You're literally just slapping your opponent, and whoever still standing at the end.
Yeah, it's a dunk contest. It's a home run derby. You're just diluting everything down to, you know, that it's the world we live in. It's the culture we live in. It's idiocracy in sport. You're just dumbing everything down to the one piece that we want to see the guy get hit, and people are gonna watch it.
I think we can agree that it's dumb. I think we figured that out.
Oh, it's so dumb.
But
so dumb.
I'm shocked that you seem to like it.
I'm not paying for it. I'm not gonna go out of my way to watch it. But if it comes up on my feed, I'll watch a big dude slap another dude or some chick slap the other chick, whatever. But yeah, but I
protect yourselves at all times. We literally say it. We protect ourselves at all times. I say it at the end of every show. They say it at the beginning of every fight. You can't protect yourself here. In fact, you're penalized if you brace for any contact.
Your problem is you're thinking of this in the same vein of what we do and what we love.
It's in the same family.
That agitates me. That the fact that people look at it like that, because I used to always say whenever I was young and people found out that I was a boxer, and friends, family, whatever, just people I come across, they're like, "Oh, do you like getting hit?" And I said, "No, not at all. I like hitting people. I really don't like getting hit, but that's not the point of the sport. The point of the sport is to hit and not be hit." So anyone who compares
power slap, giving it so much publicity.
Very stupid name too. Anyone who compares that to the sweet science is just completely, completely illiterate to what boxing is, what fight sports, combat sports are. That's not a combat sport. It's not a sport.
It's the thing. It's not really a sport. It's like a competition. It's like a tough man competition, but it is kind of looked at in the same like umbrella as a one-on-one where there's like a strike involved, which can kind of be boxing, kind of be MMA. I mean, Dana White is involved with it. I understand it's like, oh, just don't watch, or like they're not doing it against their will. I just think it sets like a bad precedent for combat sports. I think especially in today's age where look at football, like they're getting rid of big hits. There's a lot more emphasis on concussion safety and all that. And then you turn on TBS and you're literally watching people get slapped until they're concussed. Like it just doesn't make any sense. It's so stupid.
It should be called concussion contest because that's all it is, back and forth. But yeah, I mean, listen, people do stupid things and people will watch it.
I don't think it makes it to a second season. I think not only that, like I think if you do watch an episode, like it kind of like loses its luster a little bit. It's like it's funny when you watch it in like if you're scrolling through TikTok and you watch like a 7-second clip, someone getting slapped. Oh yeah. Wow, holy crap, that was crazy. Move on to the next video. To sit there and watch a half hour,
that's
just
point.
Like pow, pow, yeah, that's it. That's it.
I never even thought about it being a TV show. Like you put this on here. I was like, why are we talking about this? But yeah, I couldn't even think of it as a TV show. I literally only see like clips on Instagram, or people sign them to me or whatever. But I always just thought it was so crazy. These crazy Russians are slapping each other in the face.
That's what I mean. If it's coming from Russia and we're now bringing it to the States, then that's like should be red flag number one.
Are they doing it in the States? No, right?
Yes, my friend.
Like holding it literally? Like,
yes,
like,
it's in United States, Vegas. My friend Jason Griggs does real estate out in Vegas. He has a pretty really cool Airbnb that he owns. They're using his house to do like – they're all staying in one house. I think that's the aspect of it. They're doing like a – what's the stuff that
you see? Reality show slap
yes, fest? Yes, like a reality UFC type of ultimate fighter, ultimate slapper. And they're all staying at his house.
You're familiar with the movie Idiocracy, right?
No.
No, okay. So it was Mike Judge, the guy who made Beavis and Butthead. He made this movie called Idiocracy in the early 2000s. And it's the idea that over time, society is just going to get dumber and degrade itself into idiocracy. So this is the start of that. No, not the start of it, but this is a product of that. People are getting dumber. People are watching dumber things.
Don't disagree there.
Yeah, you should watch that movie. It's pretty telling for what's been happening recently.
I posted a video about it, and I was like 100% agree rate on the comments below, which never happens on social media. So that's a positive thing. The people that watch the show and follow along do think it's ridiculous, and I don't think it sees a second season. So we'll see. We'll have to. I think Dana White is.
Well, you see, you're optimistic, Dan. You think that the culture and the society is higher brained and are going to be like, oh, this is terrible. I am pessimistic CA, and I think people are like to watch dumb stuff.
I can't believe Dana White would champion this, and like someone that like it just doesn't look good for him. Obviously, with him slapping his wife, and then slap fight comes out. Not only that, and then on top of it, like this is a guy that's like the head of trying to be a legitimate sport in MMA and in UFC. I just think that's a bad look. I think it's a bad look. But anyway, let's move on before we say goodbye. There's a big fight this weekend. ESPN Plus coming from the UK. Arthur Beterbiev, arguably the scariest man in all of boxing. He's 18-0 with 18 knockouts. He's taking on Anthony Yard, who also has a long list of knockouts himself. This one's not going the distance. This one is surefire, inside-the-distance knockout. I think it will be Beterbiev. I'm kind of shocked by the amount of people that are giving Yard a chance in this fight. I think his best chance is blitzing Beterbiev, kind of like what Joe Smith did. But we all saw what happened in that fight. Joe Smith got taken out pretty quickly. So if Yard does blitz Beterbiev, he might be able to catch him a few shots because Yard is heavy-handed. But I just think he's just going to meet his fate of getting the 19th man to be knocked out by Beterbiev. What are your initial thoughts on this matchup?
I like the matchup for one. I think it's it's a shootout with two big punchers, two aggressive guys. I don't think it's going to be hard for them to find each other, and that spells disaster for Anthony Yard. Beterbiev is a destroyer, and I think whether it happens early or it happens late, I think it happens, and I think it's Beterbiev by knockout. But it'll be fun for as long as it lasts, however long it lasts. But you said that Beterbiev is the scariest man in boxing, but listen, he's been down. You know, he leaves himself open at times. His chin has been checked a few times. He's been down. He's gotten up to win, of course, and score knockouts because he has 100% knockout percentage. But yeah, I mean, there is a path to victory, but to get through the power of Beterbiev to get to that victory is, I don't know. I don't see Anthony Yard doing it.
Over on DraftKings Sportsbook app, over 6.5 rounds -110, under 6.5 rounds minus 120. I'm trying to see if they can got Beterbiev to win by KO is +200. Kind of like that right there. I'll put some money on that one. Some plus money on a Beterbiev KO. Yeah, the one I'm trying to find things where you can find some weaknesses of Beterbiev. I would say two things. Pretty inactive. Over the last couple of years, seems like his body's breaking down a little bit. He's 37 years old. Two fights in 2019, zero fights in 2020, two fights in 2021, only one fight last year. He did go down against, I think it was Callum Johnson, right?
Yeah, and he went down once before that as well.
And once down before that. But Callum Johnson was the most notable knockdown that he suffered.
Yeah, left hook on the inside.
Keep in mind, went back and watched that fight. He outlanded Johnson 41-17 after the knockdown.
Yeah.
And then ended up knocking him out. Also knocked Johnson down in the first round, too. So, hey, you want to be a knockout guy, you got to be willing to stand and trade. Like, we thought that Joe Smith was going to be able to catch him. But I think Joe Smith had probably a very bad game plan in that fight. So, I'll stick with it, that Yard will have to cautiously blitz Beterbiev. How does that happen? How does Yard win this fight?
Okay, so I did a breakdown for this actually. I don't know if we're gonna actually air it or not. But so Anthony Yard, he can win the fight because the guy can punch, especially with the right hand. And Beterbiev has been down by a right hand. He's also been down by a left hook. He was down by a right hand in that first fight. I think he knocked out that same round. I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head. But the Callum Johnson fight, he got hit with a left hook on the inside because Beterbiev is an offensive machine. When he gets going, takes a little bit to get going. But once he gets going, man, he's looking for knockouts on every shot. And he has a tendency to get tall. He gets so aggressive on his shots on the inside. He likes to fight on the inside. He's actually a pretty good inside fighter. But there are holes there because he gets tall and he drops that right hand because he's looking to throw his own hooks. So if Yard can keep him at a distance and not let him cut off the ring and make the ring very small, because Beterbiev is very good at that. He's got a good jab. He stalks guys, and he makes the ring very small. You don't have a lot of room. If he can stay calm, keep that distance, explode with the right hand from the outside, he has a really good 3-2. So he throws left hook, then the overhand right, yeah, which I think could potentially land. And that is his best punch. But I think on the inside is where Beterbiev is most vulnerable. If he can throw those lunging, explosive shots and then keep his head on the inside, be smart, keep your earmuffs on, and look for the opening to throw the left hook, there is a path to victory that way, strategically, if we're talking X's and O's. But again, like I said, he's got to have to get through the Beterbiev jab, and every punch that guy throws is hard and has bad intentions on it, and he can knock you out with either hand.
Beterbiev has never seen the 12th round. Yard's last 21 wins have all been by knockout. I love fights like this, puncher versus puncher. Oh, yeah. If Yard does win, that's got to be one of the best wins of the last, like, 5 years.
Huge upset, I think. And, yeah, I mean, that'll turn the division on its head. And then I don't know. Bivol, he's chasing. It seems like he's back to chasing that Canelo fight, or not that he ever really did, but he's that Canelo fight might happen. But I want to see Undisputed. I want to see, you know, if Yard is to win that fight, I think Bivol and him makes sense.
Yeah, that's like the nature of being a fight fan. It's like, I want to see, like, obviously, let the best man win. If Yard can find a way to beat Beterbiev, that's great. That's that's the beauty of sport. But it does kind of spoil one of the best three fights you can make in boxing right now, and that would be a Beterbiev Bivol fight. Although I don't see a path how that fight gets made this year, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. With Canelo coming back in May, it looks like against Ryder. I think Bivol will probably fight sometime around then, and then they're mm-hmm. really really talking about this Bivol Canelo rematch, but at 168. So now Bivol's going down to 168. He's leaving the weight class. I don't understand why Bivol would do that. I don't understand why Canelo would allow himself to kind of get that rematch with like an asterisk, not on Bivol's terms. But it's up to Bivol if he wants to do that, because that's more money for him. I'm not going to fault him for that. But obviously all fans want to see Beterbiev Bivol, but politics are getting in the way.
As per usual,
politics as usual. Wow.
Boxing has a tendency to drag out these fights that everyone wants, and listen, over time things can happen, and pitfalls happen, and fights never happen or don't happen or don't occur because of everything that happened between, and we see it all the time, and it's just an unfortunate pitfall for boxing. It's something that we've known, that boxing shoots itself in the foot on a regular basis, and we don't get the fights that everyone wants.
I think Bivol Beterbiev is, that's a top three fight in boxing. Would you agree?
Love that fight. I agree. I think that's, if you ask me what fights I really want to see this year or really as soon as possible, that's high on the list.
Yeah. So Beterbiev Yard, it's going to be on ESPN Plus. Afternoon fight. Love those over here in the U.S. because it frees up your Saturday night. Thought we were going to get an all-time Saturday where we get Beterbiev Yard in the afternoon and then Charlo Zoo at night. There'll be more of those this year where we get these doubleheaders. Oh, did you see this? This has nothing to do with this fight, but did you see that Zhilhai Zhang is fighting Joe Joyce?
I did not.
April 16th.
Love that fight.
That right there got me way more excited than it should have.
Love that fight.
Got fight fans excited. I tweeted about it and got a ton of people interacting with it, because people know that is a
good fight.
It's not like either guy is close to a champ. Actually, Joyce is pretty close. It's not like either, like, there's no title on the line. It's not the biggest names, but fans know that when they watch that fight, Zhang is always in, like, fun, wacky, quirky mm-hmm. fights, and Joyce is, I think, he's one of the most exciting guys to watch in boxing right now. That fight's going to be insane.
And that fight is very meaningful, because the winner of that fight, I mean, it's a big risk for Joyce, because he's
right.
He's really gotten himself into a really good position for getting one of the big guys in the ring. And Zhang recently, he's been fighting like a man possessed. He knows that his opportunity may be slipping, so he's taking every chance that he can. Huge opportunity for him, because a big win there gets him in with one of the talks with the big guys. I think it's a fun fight. Zhang is a very powerful guy. His straight left hand is a dangerous shot. good, very well-schooled fighter, tough as nails. And Joe Joyce, we've talked about him many times in the show. He is the juggernaut. Really impressed as of recently. The guy gets hit a ton, but he's a super athletic guy, and he throws a million punches. I mean, what's not to like about this fight?
Yeah, April 16th, that could be on the afternoon, setting up for Ryan Garcia, Tank Davis at night in Vegas. So that could be a really fun day. Some really good fights coming down starting in the spring. There's some good ones in February, but it's really going to pick up in April. I'm looking forward to this Beterbiev Yard fight. What's your final prediction? I got Beterbiev. I think he KOs him under six.
Yeah, that's a safe bet.
See what it is.
I have a suspicion that we could see more than six. I could see Anthony Yard using his athleticism, his explosiveness to move around the ring a little bit and to, you know, stretch it out. And I think he goes down a few times, but I think he's got some dog in him, and he tries to get up and put and make a run for it. But I think he'll finally succumb in those middle rounds.
Arthur Beterbiev to win in rounds 7 through 12 plus 230. That might be the play here. Because him to win in rounds 1 through 6 is minus 105. So Vegas is kind of agreeing with you here that Yard might be able to get into the second half of the fight. Especially if Beterbiev starts slow.
Explosive and athletic enough.
Yeah. And he's got a good jab, and that can kind of neutralize Beterbiev. And Beterbiev is a slow starter. And that's what I think that Joe Smith saw, is the numbers that Beterbiev doesn't throw as much in those first two rounds. And then he picks it up. And gets into, he eventually settles into like the 70 punches per round, which is insane for a guy that big. And I think that Smith was like, I'm going to come out and blitz him. Backfired.
So, you know what I think happened with the Joe Smith fight? Joe actually has a very good jab. He's very technical. I've known Joe since he was a teenager in the New York amateur scene. But he's got a very good jab. He's good technically. Obviously, he's a very good puncher. He's very strong. Always has been. But I remember I've talked about this on the show before. Sometimes you get hit with shots that maybe from the outside we don't see, but hurt you and changes the way you fight. I think Beterbiev's jab hurt Joe early on more than we actually saw. I saw it, but and I think that kind of changed the game plan. He's like, all right, we're in a fight, we got to go now, and I got to try and blitz him. I think Joe was probably going to come out and box more because Joe always tries to box, and then if a fight's break out and he knocks you out. But yeah, I think that he was rocked by the jab and early on and went into fight or flight mode, and I think he got caught that way, which could happen to Anthony Yard as well.
Love the fight. That's the big one this weekend. That is our show this week. Enjoy the call. Enjoy Plant City. Get it out of there unscathed, Chris. Keep your head on a swivel.
I will try. The first time I ran the entire length of Plant City yesterday, a 6.5 mile run. I won't be doing that again. Let's just say that.
All right, friends. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We out.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.